Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to today's webinar, or more appropriately, today's moderated conversation, utilizing the ICCPR review process to advance human rights in the U.S. I'm Yolande Tomlinson, the National Education Coordinator for the U.S. Human Rights Network. For those not familiar with the network, we are a national network of organizations and individuals working to build and strengthen a people-centered human rights movement in the United States, where leadership is centered on those most directly affected by human rights violations and where the full range of diversity in community is respected and embraced. But before I proceed forward, a couple of housekeeping items. First, the call is being recorded and will be made available for you all later. The call is currently in lecture mode, which means that everyone except for the moderators will be muted until we open up for conversation during the participation portion. At that point, we'll take questions and comments one at a time. There are two ways for you to participate in the conversation. The first is through the raised hand feature, which you'd use by pressing star one. It enters you into a queue, at which point I will recognize your hand, and the system will notify you to ask your question. At that point, please introduce yourself. And at the end of the comment, you may lower your hand by pressing pound, or I can recognize the next person by unmuting them. The second way that you can participate in the conversation is to use the chat feature to send me a question, which I'll ask the moderators for you. The other thing is that we sent around a timeline of key dates in the review process and events being planned by the ICCPR Task Force. If you have not, if you do not have this resource handy at this time, we'll be displaying it as a PowerPoint when we get to that portion of the conversation. So for those of you who have web access, you'll be able to view this. And if you don't have it, we'll also send it around when we send around the audio of the call. So just some background on the task force and the ICCPR. So one of the ways that the network conducts its work is by connecting members and partners to the United Nations mechanisms, in this case, the Human Rights Committee, which monitors compliance with the ICCPR, or the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. The ICCPR is one of three human rights treaties that the U.S. has ratified and is therefore obligated to adhere to ensure that our civil and political human rights are respected, protected, and fulfilled. As part of this mechanism's work, the network has created an ICCPR task force that is comprised of members who have volunteered their time to coordinate and educate anyone interested in engaging in the review process of the U.S. before the Human Rights Committee. So this review process is currently underway. Just to quickly review, the U.S. government submitted its periodic report on how it's complying with the ICCPR back in December of 2011. The task force worked with groups throughout 2012 to submit short 2 to 3 page reports that highlight issues not addressed or that's misrepresented in the U.S. report. These list of issue submissions were due back in December of 2012. And this March, the committee will use these submissions to come up with a list of questions that they will use to set the agenda for the in-person review of the U.S. government in October of this year. So the purpose of today's webinar is to engage in a conversation with all of you, people who've submitted list of issues reports, who plan to submit chatter reports later in the year, or who have a general interest in the ICCPR process, about how to best utilize the list of issues process to advance our human rights, our domestic human rights goals. So if you need more background on the ICCPR or the review process, please email myself or Jamil, who's leading this call, Katrina, or anyone else that you know received an email from. So I'll stop here and introduce Jamil and Katrina, who will be leading the conversation. Jamil is a director of the American Civil Liberties Union's Human Rights Program. He leads the ACLU international advocacy in the areas of counterterrorism, racial justice, immigrants' rights, women's rights, and criminal and juvenile justice. Jamil is also one of our volunteers and the co-chair of the ICCPR Task Force. Katrina Anderson is the Human Rights Counsel at the Center for Reproductive Rights, where she leads the center's work to integrate international human rights strategies into domestic legal advocacy. Her work prioritizes engagement with the United Nations systems to hold the U.S. government accountable to its international obligations under human rights treaties and other global standards. And Katrina is also a member of the ICR task force. So, Jamil, Katrina.
Thank you very much, Yolande, and thank you all for joining us today. We think that this is an important way to connect with members of the network and other organizations and individuals involved or interested in the ICCPR review process. As you know, if you participated in previous calls, we decided as a task force that from time to time, and we're trying to make it on a regular basis, at least periodically, on a quarterly basis at least, to have these general calls where we update you on the work of the task force. We share information on where we are in the process, and we always welcome feedback, of course, questions and comments on this process. So as Yolande mentioned, what we really wanted to do today is to walk you through the work plan that the task force members adopted in the last meeting that we had last week, and it was based on a strategic planning meeting that we had on February 1st to discuss how we will want to engage both the civil society communities here in the United States, U.S. government, and of course the U.N. Human Rights Committee as a way to increase accountability for human rights in the United States. Obviously, the review before the committee is not a goal in of itself. It's only a tool for us, will be added to the host of other ways that you are working to advance social justice and human rights in the U.S. So let's just get to it. And the reason that we have this call, in a way that will only allow some people who are asking to raise their hand or take the permission to, is because to make sure that it will be a line that doesn't have a lot of background noise, and will hopefully make sure that whoever wants to take the wants to address or make any comments, you'll of course be happy to do that right after we make the brief presentation. So the as Yolande mentioned, we are already in the middle of or the beginning of this review process, and some of us in fact are still abroad. In fact, Katrina and I are still in Europe. We just finished some meetings in Geneva related to the UN Human Rights Council, but also had the chance to meet with a couple of committee members, and we have some more meetings coming up later this month. So we really wanted to walk through this and make sure that you are up to speed on where we are in the process. Just one thing that it's important to mention, if you're planning to go to Geneva this month for the committee session, please let us know as soon as possible. Let us means Yolande or me or Katrina or other task force members, because we also have a prep call for those who will be in Geneva this coming month. So as you can see from the timeline that we created, the first thing that really happened is that we are next week we will have the March 11th call to prepare for the NGO briefing before the committee that is taking place on March 18th. So the idea is to make sure that the groups that will be going to Geneva have the information and they know what to expect. We are also hoping not only to represent the issues that we are working on, but the idea from this briefing is really to get as much information that we would come back and share it with you. So if you are not going to Geneva in March because you don't have resources or you don't have the time or it's not something that is a priority for your organization, don't feel that this is the end of the process for you. Our hope is really to share the information that we're going to get from the committee members. But just to back to this whole process is really built on civil society and NGO engagement with the Human Rights Committee. The Human Rights Committee that reviews compliance with the treaty doesn't have much resources and staff to to research and to document and to raise the issues that we are hoping they will raise with the U.S. government. So really, the center of all this process is civil society groups and NGOs working on these issues to be the vehicle and to be the advocates that bring before the committee their issues. And our goal is to make sure that these issues are presented in the clearest way, in the most effective way, and so that it will be then considered, hopefully adopted by the committee in the form of the list of questions that will be sent to the U.S. government prior to the review that will take place in Geneva in October. So the first thing that we started to do, as Yolande mentioned, was sending brief documents or submissions to the committee, and the deadline was December 2028. So if you have missed that deadline, unfortunately some of the information will be too late to send right now to the committee. But it's still not too late to make sure that if those issues are not going to be raised in the list of issues, there are some opportunities during the coming year to raise them with the committee and subsequently with the U.S. government. But what we are anticipating right now is that the committee had a chance to review the information that was received. And in fact, I had a chance to talk to the Human Rights Secretariat, and they were very pleased with the breadth of the issues and the information that was sent to the committee from different sources. And obviously, the network a coordinated submission made it much easier for them to go through the issues. Now, what is happening is that there is a small task force within the Human Rights Committee of four members who will take the lead in drafting and finalizing the list of questions that will be ultimately sent to the U.S. government. And so the intention of the briefing that we are having on March, and I think we're moving to the next slide. If you are in the third slide, if you are using the PowerPoint, the breakfast briefing that we are planning on the 18th is with committee members. Most importantly, with the four committee members who will be taking the lead on questioning the U.S. government. They by now have already had some draft. That unfortunately we don't have access to. This is a confidential draft. We don't at this point even know who are the leading committee members. We're hoping to at least guess who they are on March 18. But we are hoping with the organization that will be in Geneva to hear directly from the committee members what are the issues that they have they don't have information on that relate to the ICCPR, if they have any comments or any questions specifically to the submissions that were made. And again, I want to emphasize that our plan is to make sure not only that we give update to some of the issues that we can present on, but we also report back through the listserv, through the ICCPR listserv and through the network, the kinds of issues that the committee members will ask about. And so we're going to make sure that we take notes of the meeting, and we will share this as soon as practically possible, and we will obviously also reach out to some of you with some questions and maybe requests for additional information based on the first conversation that we will be having with the committee members on March 18th. And then for the few of us who will be in Geneva between the 18th and the 20th, we will have other meetings with the committee members, informal meetings. There will not be full briefings, but we're hoping to catch some of the committee members for additional side meetings where we can brief them, give them the additional information, and make sure that they have everything they need by the 20th, which is when the committee officially will have the discussion and will adopt the list of questions. Now, just to say that the one thing, and before I hand it over to Katrina to take it from there to continue with this presentation, I just wanted to mention that it is the procedure of the committee that they don't share the identity of the committee members who will be leading the questioning of the U.S. government. It's not because it's the U.S. government. It's just a general practice of the committee. And they also don't share a draft of the list of issues. So we are we're going to do our best to do that without having having any opportunity to see the text. And just one final thing that I would like to say at this point is that then from the 20th, the March 20th, the committee will finalize the document. You know, they will send it into the UN system where they will be edited. It will be translated to the official languages, and it will be then published in April. It will not be published at the end of the session, as some of us, we're hoping that would be the case. But it will actually release sometime in April. We don't have the date, but we based on the information that we got from the Secretariat, it will be released sometime in April. Katrina, now I hand it to you.
Okay, thanks, Jamil. Hi, everyone. So if you go on to the next slide, slide four, this is the procedure for what happens after the list of issues is adopted. So we, as Jamil said, we expect to get it back in April. And once that happens, the task force will schedule another call to report back both about what happened in Geneva during the breakfast meeting and our efforts at lobbying individual members, and also to have a planning session for our process for drafting the shadow letters. So what we'll want to do at that point once we get the list of issues is identify any gaps in issues and subjects that are omitted from that, and make a plan for how we can address those as a group. And we'll make some concrete plans for how we engage the U.S. government leading up to the review in October. So really this phase between the adoption of the list of issues and the shadow reporting process and, you know, leading up to the actual review is really about trying to sort of broaden the tent to get more groups involved, groups that weren't involved necessarily in submitting a list of issues submission to the committee, but are still interested in engaging in the process. So making sure that we have as many grassroots groups involved as possible and just a wide sector of civil society. And then the second effort is to really engage with the U.S. government so that they know that we are what issues we are prioritizing and how we're working together and coordinating to make sure that all of the issues are addressed, whether or not they're in the list of issues. And also, the task force will also be helping to organize media engagement and doing some communications outreach strategies to make sure that we generate public awareness about the list of issues and sort of make sure that media is well informed prior to the October review. This could involve coordinating letter writing campaigns to state legislators and local officials, organizing town hall meetings, and trying to engage as many local officials as we can in both contributing to the review process themselves and also listening to civil society in their localities. And then in May, we will draft a letter to the administration about consultations that we expect to have with the administration before the review, both on transparency and participation of civil society, and also our expectations for their response to the list of issues, their written response that they will give to the committee itself. Moving on to the next slide, slide five. In May, we will have a training call with the entire network to give an overview of the shadow reporting process as we get closer to the time when the shadow reports are due, just to make sure that all remaining questions are answered and people have an opportunity to discuss everything from what format might be most effective and also trying to coordinate with one another to make sure that any gaps and issues are addressed and we can sort of coordinate any overlap that there might be. In late June and early July, we'll have another training call where we discuss lessons learned from prior reporting processes as well as prior reviews and the actual oral advocacy that happens during the review itself in trying to prepare people for what happens in Geneva, whether you do end up traveling to Geneva or if you stay in the United States and engage from there. And during this time, we also anticipate needing to coordinate with the other review processes that are happening. So, for example, many of you know and are engaged with the CERD process, and the U.S. government has indicated that it plans to release its report to the CERD committee in this coming spring. So if that process does indeed kick into gear, then we will also make sure that we're sort of coordinating, that the ICCPR task force will be working in close collaboration with the task force members of that other review process to make sure that we're maximizing all opportunities to engage with the U.S. government. And then in August and September, the task force will help coordinate the submission of shadow reports by members of civil society and also any updates to submissions that people want to contribute based on the list of issues, since that will have been submitted back in December, and so we anticipate many people will have updates that they want to provide to the committee. So that could include revised submissions or also additional advocacy documents, maybe reporting that's been done or and anything of that nature. So I'll hand it back to you, Jamil.
Great. And so one of the things that we discussed at the task force and we thought it would be good to do is to plan a day of action. And if you go to slide 6, you can see that we identified September 23rd as a day of action in several states where we would like to hold events in advance of the U.S. review to highlight the issues covered in the different shadow reports and the submissions that were made. And I think we thought that was really kind of a way for all the organizations that have already spent a lot of time in compiling these submissions to the committee is to make domestic use of these reports and submissions. The committee may just need a few pages of updates and responses to kind of elaborating more on what happened since the U.S. submitted its report in December 2011, and perhaps you want to highlight additional issues that were not covered in the list of issues. But what really we thought would be good to do is to think about a major day of action where different groups and communities can hold events highlighting the issues that they're working on and in connection and relation to the U.S. Review in October. So we will obviously have more details on this, but we wanted, of course, to put it on the calendar so you know if you are planning your your events and activities for the coming year. And then in September, early October, when we're really getting into closer to the U.S. review in Geneva, we will have a pre-Geneva review or strategy call based on discussions that we had on how best to present civil society and to participate in this process in Geneva. We are hoping that by September we will have the U.S. replies to the list of questions, but we obviously this is not something that we can guarantee, and we should ask, and that's what Katrina mentioned earlier, that in around end of April and May, we will be asking the U.S. government in a formal way to take concrete steps in terms of making sure that the consultation with civil society is not is just a side. It's not like a window dressing. It's really a substantive opportunity for NGOs to respond to or to add to the list of issues that was sent by the committee. And we're hoping to get a commitment from the U.S. government to release the replies as soon as possible, because that will allow us to go prepared to Geneva, to be prepared in adding additional updates and responses to the U.S. replies when we go there and we try to lobby the committee members to ask additional questions during the dialogue that will take place over 6 hours, and I'm moving to the slide number 7. The session itself will be from October 14th to November 1st, but the U.S. review itself will be over 6 hours. Usually they split it over 2 days, so it will be a session, afternoon session, and then next day in the morning, where the U.S. delegation will appear before the committee, and the committee members will take turns in asking questions, and then U.S. government will reply to these questions with additional information. And the NGO role in this process will also be instrumental. The committee will hear NGOs who will be in Geneva there's, I think, half an hour, 1 hour formal session for NGOs, and then there will be informal meetings with committee members to prepare and to brief them on the U.S. replies, on any developments that happened, in the past year, and to add even additional questions that were not included in the list of questions. And so the network and the task force will try to coordinate that process because obviously we would like to make sure that all the issues are represented in a way that would be fair and that will in a way that will also be efficient and productive when we deal with the committee members. The last slide, we will get the recommendations or the concluding observations of the committee at the end of the session. I think it will be around November 1st. So we will have a plan on how to, hopefully there will be communication resources via the network provided on how to respond and how to publicize the committee recommendations and make sure that they are, again, used in your local and state and national advocacy. We also hoping to have post-review reporting back session with all of you just to make sure that we have a chance to look at the concluding observations and have reflect back on, all this process. And finally, we have December 6th to 8th, the biennial U.S. Human Rights Network National Conference, which will be in Atlanta this year. And I think the plan is to have a workshop that will be more focused on how do we implement the ICCPR, how we continue to use the ICCPR recommendations in our organizing and our advocacy. It will be a perfect time to again, share this information and the concluding observations and everything that we've achieved by then with the larger network membership. So I think we covered everything that we have on this plan, but Katrina, I don't know if you have anything else to add before we turn it back to Yolande for any questions or comments or any feedback.
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Thanks.
Okay. So, again, we don't have any questions in queue, but if you want to ask a question, make a comment based on anything that Jamil has said, any questions that you have, you press *1 to raise your hand and #1 to lower it. And so now we're open for questions and comments.
While we're waiting, Yolande, it might be good if you mentioned where the existing advocacy materials are on the U.S. Human Rights Network website, just in case people want to take a look at those and particularly the submissions.
Right. So on the website, on our project pages, this one you can go to www.ushrnetwork.org/ICCPR, and that's our ICCPR project page that has links to our newsletters where we provide updates at key points in the review process. And so currently, ICCPR Newsletter 2 lists all of the submissions that were made through the network as well as ones that our partners have made. at the top of that newsletter is a link to the current work plan that was just shared. I've also just provided a link via the chat. If you want to click on that, if you have access to the web, you can view that. So again, that's www.ushrnetwork.org/ICCPR.
There's also a template on the website that provides a structure for the list of issue submission, which could also be a helpful tool for people who are looking to prepare their shadow report. And of course, then, as Yolan mentioned, there's a newsletter with all the examples from other groups that have submitted. But both of those, I think, people found useful when preparing their submissions. So take a look at those, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask any of the task force members, too.
And we still, so we have a couple questions that came in. One question is, how do we let you all know if we submitted a request? Our submission was not listed on your website. Thank you. So I'm unclear. Jennifer, you asked this question. I'm going to unmute you to get some clarity on what that request is that you're referring to. Okay, so Jennifer is only on the online, but not on the phone. We'll wait for you to add some clarity to what you're referring to in terms of request, the submission you're talking about. Christina has a question. Yes, the PowerPoint is available on the website. In the form of the timeline. And again, that's at www.ushrnetwork.org/ICCPR. And it's available in our newsletter number 2. Joanne Ward asks, in the past, advocates have drafted lengthy shadow reports, both for the committee and other advocacy. Do you have a sense if this type of report is still appropriate, or are shorter documents more effective?
This is a great question, Joanne. Thank you for raising this issue, because when I met with the committee secretary this week in Geneva, you know, they were very, again, as I said, they were very happy and pleased that they were that such a high level of participation from civil society in the U.S. in this process, at this stage of this process, because it's still a list of issues. But at the same time, they were a little bit concerned that, well, you know, they asked, what will happen, you know, in October? Will we get, like, overwhelmed with lengthy reports and more submissions? And, you know, first of all, my reaction, just to, so you know, I said, look, you know, you have to remember as a committee that the U.S. is, you know, a big country, and it has 50 states that, you know, each state has its own issues and human rights problems. And number two, the U.S. is not only a big country, but it's not reviewed by international human rights mechanisms or committees every year. It only ratified 3 key human rights treaties, and this review happens every 6 or 7 years. The last human rights committee review was in 2006. So I kind of prepared them for at least you know, the possibility there will be you know, a high level of participation from civil society in the U.S., and that is something that we will try to coordinate. But their response to additional submissions in the form of shadow reports is that better to send in short submissions, not lengthy ones. So if you can update your submission, that's even better than sending a full shadow report of 50, 60 pages. I think they were very satisfied, or you know, with the template that was created in order to allow very summarized forms of information to be received. So I think the short answer is yes, better to send or to prepare shadow reports that are short, and at least if you are preparing lengthy documents for other advocacy purposes, perhaps the executive summary of that document or this report, you know, could be used for the committee. But don't think about, you know, big reports of the 40, 50 or more pages. It simply won't be, you know, useful for the committee, again, just because of time, because of lack of resources and staffing. They will be overwhelmed with other reviews, and every issue will, you know, there's a lot of issues. So I think we have to be, you know, just be very careful about how much information we want to provide so that we won't lose the interest of the committee in adding additional issues that will not be included.
So related to that, Jamil, there's a question about templates for doing the shadow report. Someone wants to know if the template that we've shared with them for completing the list of issues submission, if that should also be the one for completing a shadow report.
I think we have to look again on we have to look at the template, because I think there are two new elements would have happened since then. One is that we will have the list of questions. So if your question or issue is included in the final Human Rights Committee list of issues, then you have and you have the opportunity to see whether that is covering and addressing your issue in a satisfactory manner. That is basically raising the right question, raising the right concerns, providing some sort of hint to what you're getting at. What are the kind of recommendations that we're trying to get out of this process? But also at the same time, we'll have to update the information of what we sent in December. So, but we want to do it in a way that will not add an, you know, additional layer of unnecessary documentation. So what we think, there are some examples, and I think there's a manual, I think a couple of manuals that were created for this process. I think some of this is already posted on the network website, if I'm not wrong. But I think what we will definitely do between now and next month, or certainly by May, is to look at the template that we used for the list of issue submissions, and to think about something similar that will be useful and will be easier for folks, especially folks who don't have a lot of time and resources to compile, you know, lengthy shadow reports or documents, and to give you a little bit more tips and advice on what to include in the template.
Thank you. So, Jennifer, back to your question about where you can find submissions made to the committee. So the Office of the High Commissioner has a link to all of the reports that were submitted to them, and I've viewed them in some cases. Some reports are on there twice, so they should all be there. I just sent a link via the chat for anyone who has web access to be able to get to those reports by clicking on that. I'm hesitating to share it over the phone because it's very lengthy and cumbersome, but I can include it as well in an email follow-up that I send out. Our website, the U.S. Human Rights Network website, specifically the ICCPR newsletter that I referenced earlier, has all of the submissions submitted through the network, as well as ones that our partners have shared with us. And that newsletter also has a link to the NGO reports on the site of the High Commissioner.
Yeah, and just I would add just one additional thing that I heard from the committee secretariat this week. They, even though, you know, the deadline was December 28, submissions that were sent to the committee after the deadline, I think they, given that it was around, you know, the holidays and people were out of the office or traveling, they did accept delayed submissions, and I think anything that was submitted probably in January or, you know, by middle of February, they probably sent it to the committee members of the task force. They may have not posted it on the website, but what I heard is that they definitely sent or forwarded all the information that was received to the committee members that are working on the list of issues.
Okay. So we have a question regarding when folks should start compiling shadow reports. Specifically, this person has said that they've participated in the WRC submission and wanted to know when you would suggest that they start compiling shadow reports before the announcement. Would it be possible to do it before the announcement of the list of issues by the committee?
You know, my advice, and Katrina, you know, feel free to add to it, is that don't do it right after you get the list of issues. And the reason is you want to try to submit this information as closer as possible to the time when the U.S. will be reviewed. Usually it's about, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before the actual review. So that's why we proposed in our work plan that submissions or shadow reports and updated submissions should be made to the committee, sent to the committee by August, early September. And the reason is, you know, if you send in something in April, May, by the time the U.S. is reviewed in October, it may be too outdated and maybe not. But it's important to send in, you know, updated information, credible information about the work that is being done to address human rights violations. And we think that it would be better if you wait till we see the list of issues. We have the chance to get the additional resources and advice from the network from the task force, and then start to work on the shadow report, you know, around maybe May, June, try to finalize it, you know, by the end of the summer. If you can still send it, you know, earlier, but I think we are hoping that people will finalize them by August.
Yeah, I would just add to that I think I would definitely encourage people to start thinking about the issues that you plan on raising. But again, as Janelle mentioned, make sure that the information that you have is as current as possible for the submission itself. And referencing the list of issues and the written replies by the U.S. government will be key as well, because the committee will want to know what the U.S. response to that issue is.
So just a reminder that if you want to speak or ask a question directly via the phone, to press star 1 to be recognized. And I'm making this announcement because someone has identified themselves via the chat, but I think that your chat name, ID, is not the same as what's registered through the AccuConference. So go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll acknowledge you after the next question. So the question is, if you are unable to arrive in Geneva before the morning of the 21st, would it still be useful to attend?
You mean the morning of March 18? I think they are. The question probably is if you are not able to arrive before the March 18 breakfast briefing.
Well, I think that they're probably referring to the 21st because the comment was made that the committee will adopt the list or sort of finalize the list on the 20th.
Oh, I see. Yes, I think it will probably be too late. I mean, that's something that I heard actually this week, is that the committee will adopt internally the list of issues on March 20th, and everything else afterwards will be internal, you know, editing and translation and simply it will not be shared with us and with you know, publicly, because it's just not ready yet to be out, and they usually also have to share it with the U.S. government and send it to the U.S. government. But so I would say if you can't make it by the 20th, it will not be, you know, that much to be done, at least as far as the list of questions is concerned. You know, that said, you know, some of the committee members will still be around. You can still try to talk to them, and you know, if there's you know, other opportunities perhaps. But the committee changed, as some of you may notice, they changed the briefing that we asked for from the 25th to the 18th, because one of the committee members who is member of the task force has to leave the session before. You know, and won't be able to attend the week of the 25th. So that, I think that's why they want to finalize it the week of the 18th.
Okay. Okay. We have one
and just
more.
Just to add to that really quickly, I just want to make sure that people know that even though, that they're having this process to, I think you might have mentioned this, Jamil, but just in case, that they're having this process on the 20th to adopt it, that that's not an open meeting, that would be just a closed meeting with the committee members themselves. So there's not an opportunity for U.S. civil society to be present at that.
Okay, so the next question is, will the network be trying to coordinate shadow reports either by issue area or by ICCPR provision, as you did with the list of issue submissions? If so, would it be possible to make the connections earlier? We did not have much of an opportunity to work with the partners for the list of issue submissions due to the short time frame.
I missed the first part of the question, just really the first sentence.
So first wanted to know, will the network be trying to coordinate shadow reports either by issue area or by ICCPR provision, and will we be trying to do so earlier than we did for the list of issues?
I see. I think what we can just share what we discussed at the task force, and feel free, again, Katrina and Yolande, to add to this. What we discussed at the task force in the last meeting is that we may not be able to kind of coordinate in terms of like drafting and editing the submissions that will be made. I think what we will try to do the best that we can is to encourage different groups to coordinate and to organize and to be in touch and talk to each other and to work on collective cluster shadow reports on a number of issues. And those will be, even in a form of a working group or sub-committees that will be created, you're right, we didn't have the time to do that for the list of issues, unfortunately, but because obviously the task force was not created until, the summer, and then by the time we started to get the information out, it was really too late to create those groups. But I think it is really a good idea to start to think about allies and partners, groups that you can work together, and you're already maybe working on an issue together on a coalition or otherwise, and, strategize about how to use the shadow reporting process. And the network, I'm sure, and I can definitely speak on behalf of the network, will do its best to facilitate that, these conversations and calls and meetings to the extent possible. And that's why we have some of those calls. Some of them are general, but we didn't list, additional calls that will be necessary to have in order to coordinate these kinds of conversations and work. And I just want to also emphasize one additional thing for the importance of working together in a collective manner and in a working group setting. This will help us when we go to Geneva in October to respond to the U.S. replies and to help the U.S. to help the committee members to get additional information, and for all the groups that worked really hard to address those issues in a way that will be coordinated. So we won't have all the time for everybody to speak and to present, but and that's what we did in past reviews, whether it's the Human Rights Committee and even the CAD Committee back in 2006, certainly the CERD review in 2008, for those of you who were part of that review, we did create working groups and issue areas, and then the groups had to talk to each other in advance and to agree on ways to brief the committee members so that we maximize the time that we have and be more effective and organized when we deal with that. So I think the short answer is yes, we will encourage coordinating of cluster or working group shadow reports around issues, but it will not be, I think, the kinds of editing and compiling the information that probably happened in past reviews, although hopefully the network will have additional resources to do that. But Yolande, again, and Katrina, please add to what I said.
The only thing that I would add is I think part of the question was, are we planning on helping to coordinate via issue area or article of the ICCPR? And I think that our plan is to do the former, that is to organize by issue, since so many of the issues that each organization and group will be raising are across many different issues. And so I think it just could become a little bit too unwieldy to try to do it by article. So I don't know if that's helpful, but, you know, as we did with previous reviews, we'll have groups that are sort of focused on one cluster of rights that will be able to work with each other.
And so just to reiterate that Jamil has said, which is that, yes, the network is planning to coordinate the process, but unfortunately we won't be doing any sort of intensive process in terms of editing or sort of, you know, putting together any sort of comprehensive document that really synthesizes the issues. So it's probably more in terms of what was done for the list of issue submissions. And certainly that we will do this with more, giving you more time to work together and with each other. Unfortunately, with the last round, with the list of issue submissions, you know, with the task force being convened so close to the due date, as well as, you know, holidays and whatnot falling in between that time period, it didn't really give us that much time to be as effective and as well coordinated as we would have liked. And so given that we're starting here in March and possibly with September, August, having submissions turned in, we have enough time to basically get that process going. And so once the list of issues are out and you've sent us, you know, sort of your areas and interest in putting together shadow reports, we'll get that out to you so you can have enough time to work with each other. A question is, when is the U.S. reply to the U.N. Human Rights Committee likely to be submitted?
I think I mentioned this earlier, but the answer is that there's no I think that actually I should have mentioned. I asked the committee about this, and they said they give, I think, 60 days for the government to respond to the list of questions. But that obviously is not a, you know, it's not set in stone in terms of, you know, the U.S. government never, I think, you know, really submitted the replies or even periodic reports on time. So we will definitely push and make a request and call on the U.S. government to submit the report within 60 days. But I think we will have to be prepared to the possibility that the list of replies will probably be coming sometime in September or even closer to the October review. But I think this is really one of the things that we are hoping that with your help and the organizing that we're proposing in the work plan, we are going to use this as a demand for increased transparency and effectiveness on the U.S. Government side in responding to UN Human Rights Mechanism's requests. Of course, we don't want at the same time that the 60 minutes will be a restriction or limitations in not, you know, having the U.S. government to reply in a more substantive and meaningful way to the issues that will be raised. But I think we should expect and we should ask for those replies to be submitted in a timely manner so that we have a chance to review them, and we will be also asking to hold these meetings and consultations before they finalize their replies, so that they will hear our responses and current information that we have on the list of questions. So again, the short answer is that there's 60 days from the time that they receive the list of questions, and then we are hoping that, you know, we can get them, you know, at the latest by the end of the summer, so we use them for our shadow reporting and other advocacy.
So just to do a time check, there's about 5 minutes left before it's 2 p.m., so we'll take one more question, which is all that we do have left, and this is a two-part question. The first is, regarding the 18th, any sense of who from the Human Rights Committee will be at the briefing.
I can take that if you want, Jamil. Well, the answer really is no, because we expect that everybody from the task force that's assigned to the United States will be there, and that's what the Secretary has assured us of. But we don't know, there could be other members there as well. And as Jamil mentioned, we don't know who's on the task force yet. So we really can't say. I met with Kees Flinterman from the Netherlands. I know he's planning on being there, but he's the only one I know of for sure who will be at that meeting.
And the second,
Jamil,
go ahead, Jamil.
Oh, sorry. I just wondered because Jamil, I think, met with a couple other members. I wondered if you had any other reports of people who might be there.
I didn't get the confirmation from other committee members, but I think that we should expect more than the four committee members who are members of the task force to attend, simply because there's always more interest in the U.S. Review and more committee members will be interested in the dialogue and to hear directly from NGOs. So I think we don't have a confirmation yet, but I think we're closer to the March 18. We will be getting some updates from the Secretariat on who confirmed their attendance, and we will obviously share this information with folks. So if you're interested in getting this information, even if you're not planning to go to Geneva, please email us. We just don't want to overwhelm you with all kinds of information that's something that's not going to be useful for your advocacy, especially if you're not going to be participating in the briefing. But we will make this information, and we will, as I said, we will take notes and report back in due time to all of you and through the ICCPR listserv on the conversation, on the briefing that we had, from the questions that we heard, from comments, any additional information that we will be asked about, so that we can make sure that you are aware of what's going on, and not to leave you, without this update till the end of the session.
And the second part of that question is regarding follow-up consultations. Has the U.S. committed to these, and will we be coordinated? Will they be coordinated with the UPR consultations?
I think that so far they were. I mean, as far as the U.S. government, I can't answer for the U.S. government, but we are as a task force, the ICCPR task force, we are coordinating, as some of you know, our efforts with the other task forces on CERD, on CAT. And also on the UPR, as far as the network is concerned, and there's the IMCC, the International Mechanism Committee, Coordinating Committee, that AGM is actually the chair of it, and we are in touch, and I think there were a couple of consultations around CERD that happened the past month, and if there will be any additional consultations around UPR, we will definitely try to coordinate so that will not be, there will be an effort to use the opportunities to the extent that there will be serving our, interest in briefing, U.S. government committee, U.S. government officials, pressing them on the issues that we're working on, and do that to the extent that it will be to our benefit. But so far, I don't think that there's a kind of commitment to coordinate, at least from the U.S. government side, those different consultations. But we are, we are addressing the lack of, transparency and the lack of any, more of a standing body in the U.S. government that kind of on a daily basis and a regular basis, interacts with civil society on those issues. So we're hoping that this will continue as we continue the ICCPR review process.
So it's 2:00, and I want to say thank you to Jamil and Katrina for moderating this conversation, and more generally for the work that they do on the ICCPR task force, and the task force in general, for As I mentioned at the outset, this is a Woolley voluntary team of folks who come together and do this work, and it wouldn't be possible without, you know, their commitment to making this happen. So thank you for today and the continuing work that you do on the task force. And thank you all for participating
on
this call.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, everyone.
The resources that we talked about on the call will be available in a follow-up email that I'll send out, as well as nearly everything we've talked about. And I'm not saying all because there's always, you know, room for something else, is available on our project page on the U.S. Human Rights Network site, on the ICCPR project page, where you can access these resources. If something's missing, bring it to my attention. I'll make sure that it's there. And I'll also be sending out, as part of this follow-up email, link to the webinar audio so you can access it later. If you have not already, please join the ICCPR listserv so that you can get more continuous updates on the process, and also get more information on the ICCPR treaty and the project that we are undertaking here at the network. And finally, we invite you to become a member of the network if you have not already done so, and you can do that by going to ushrnetwork.org/join-movement. Again, thank you all for participating.